Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Welcome to Listen to Older Voices and the second of a three-part program featuring Veronica Ireland. I'm Rob Greaves and it's my pleasure once again to host this program. Last week we learned that Veronica was born in 1944 and born partially deaf, which seriously impeded her ability to learn. On eventually gaining most of her hearing, she became involved in general nursing after a false start. This week, her stories of her nursing career continues, and we're both amazed and enthralled at her tale of a man who entered the nurse's home with a loaded rifle, shot one woman in the hip, and how she got the rifle off the man, winning her a medal from the Humane Society of Australia. Veronica's life is filled with ups and downs, and in one major moment of down, Veronica is involved in a head-on car accident which severely damages her sternum, an injury that is initially and painfully misdiagnosed. Yet not even this keeps her away from her work, and that work forms a career spanning many decades, all of which is part of an entertaining and informative program. We pick up with Veronica talking about how one of the benefits of her work in the psychiatric facility was the extended time off.
One was annual leave.
Right.
And the other one was leave in lieu of public holidays and overtime, etc.
Overtime, instead of getting paid that you got in time off.
Yeah. No, we got paid. No,
you got both. We got money and time off.
Yeah, but you see, they felt as though, you know, because the regulations of the time, we had to have so much time off.
So that was a very rewarding job for you in two ways. One, you're helping people, and two, you're getting paid well, and you get extra.
Yeah,
leave.
This was in psychiatric.
That must have been a very difficult job working in psychiatry. Did you find it hard?
No. I was working in a specialised unit where they were sent because they wanted to find out whether it was organic or whether it was something
psychological.
Psychological.
Yep, understand.
Yeah, and anyway, I can remember telling this psychiatric sister we really weren't supposed to have people that were trained only in psych.
Right.
Working in the unit. But anyway, she said one day, oh, I did so-and-so with this lady. And I said, is that why I have to start back at one? And she looked at me as much as that. I said, you upset that lady. And I have been spending quite a lot of time with her, talking to her, helping her, settling her down, and you've turned her back to where she was.
Yeah.
Mm. And she just couldn't handle it. But anyway, after she'd been to Larunda when our unit was closed over Christmas, it wasn't long until Dr. Lloyd said she can go, you know. But I was invited to meet with her family in a hall and that sort of thing. And she was praising me up to the hills, you know, sort of thing.
I'm sure you deserved it, but I bet it made you also feel very good.
Yes, it did.
It's nice to have that acknowledgement, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you ever find yourself frightened or fearful for yourself working with psychiatric people?
I'll get to that after.
Okay, all right.
And so anyway, that's what happened, you see.
Yes.
So anyway, I had a head-on collision on the way home.
In a car?
Mm-hmm. I had just spent the weekend off, because we used to work 2 days on, 2 days off.
Right.
And I'd spent the weekend up at Rawson.
Right.
Now, up where the dam.
Yes.
Yeah, with the car club people. And anyway, I didn't get terribly much sleep over the weekend, but I came back and I worked my 2 nights on. Coming home, 5 minutes from home, what did I meet up with down near the monastery? Tarawarra. A girl, her family belonged to the church, and she came.
Oh,
head-on collision we had.
Veronica.
So I was injured.
Oh.
I braced myself against the steering wheel, and that was the biggest mistake I ever did. And I had a jerry can in the back.
Oh, gosh.
And the dentist I was going to in the city, he said to me, I wish you could see inside your mouth now.
I think it's probably best that you didn't by the sound of it.
Black and blue I was.
Oh, I bet you were. So you say you tensioned yourself with the steering wheel because you could see it coming. You could see it gonna...
I leant forward.
Oh, goodness me, you're lucky you didn't smash your ribs and chest.
I did. I fractured my sternum.
Oh, dear. Because in those days there were no airbags.
No,
nothing like that, no.
Yeah. That was 1980.
Goodness me. That must have knocked you out of work for quite a while.
No. Well,
no?
I wasn't. I went back to work.
How long were you recovering for, about?
You know, only a week. And I rang up the ward and I said, Elizabeth, I've just had a car accident. And I was really crying my eyes out. But this doctor that has passed away, he said, oh, you've only got pneumonia or something.
Only pneumonia. Okay.
Something like that, yeah. A chest infection, you see. And I kept on going back to him and back to him. And in the November, finally sent me for x-rays and he found out I had a fractured sternum.
Good Lord. It took that long for him to get to x-rays. I mean, these days, if you're in an accident, they'd be x-raying you immediately.
I know.
So that really slowed your recovery down, didn't it? Because they hadn't even identified. That must have been very painful.
I know it was.
Yeah.
And working night duty, I could not get out of that chair. And I felt that I was a liability. And I said to Maxine, who was Elizabeth's sister-in-law, she was the boss, I said, look, I know you think I'd be better on night duty, but I think I'd be better on day duty because we do a lot of sitting around at night. I feel as though I'm a liability,
not productively helping.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Did they put you on day shift?
Yeah.
So that helped a bit.
So I was on light duties then.
And you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices, featuring the life and times of older Australians. I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with Veronica Ireland. And Veronica is recalling the time she was on her way back to the psychiatric hospital where she worked and was involved in a serious car accident.
So once they identified that you'd actually damaged your sternum, they could then try and fix it, couldn't they? So,
yeah.
And the recovery was okay then, was it?
Mm.
But you kept nursing that whole time.
Mm.
Now, you said a little while ago, I mentioned, did you ever feel threatened? And you said, I'll come to that. Are we at that point now? Can you share some stories about the more dangerous side of what you were doing?
Yes, well, this man came... Before this incident happened, in 76, he came into the nurse's home with a .22 rifle.
Oops.
And I got woken up by shots.
Oh, Lord.
And I'd come home. I think God had a job for me to do that night. I just got to my friend's place in Mitcham. I used to just occasionally go over for a cuppa because I'd met them in Central Australia. And anyway, I said, I think I'll have to go home. I won't be able to stay awake.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggled to get back to the nurse's home, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even bother to put my car in the garage. I wasn't trusting myself to reverse in like I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to bed and I was sound asleep. And 9:30, I was woken up.
By shots?
Mm.
Can you recall your reaction? I mean, did you understand and what was happening? Did you go, or did it not make sense at that point?
I got out of my room and very cautiously looked around the corner and saw this fellow with the rifle.
Oh, I bet your heart was beating fast.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And he'd shot through this lady's door, and luckily she had got in beyond her wardrobe, so she had a bit of protection.
Yeah.
Not much, but a bit. And anyway, I thought, what am I going to do? So I got onto the switchboard. I rang 333, the emergency number. And the switchboard fella said to me, what's wrong? I said, get police and I think ambulance.
Mm.
And, but I wasn't sure. I said police first.
Mm.
And anyway, I got under the stairs to hide.
Mm.
But he'd already been pointing the rifle at me because he was already upstairs.
Wow.
While I was on the phone.
Good Lord.
How I didn't get shot, I don't know, because the phone was under the stairs sort of thing.
So was he looking for somebody in particular or just randomly shooting?
No, looking for somebody in particular.
Yeah.
And anyway, Margaret came out and he said to her, where's my wife? And anyway, she said, I don't know, you know, just trying to stall him.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, she came out of her room as I went upstairs because Kathy, this other girl, had pulled Melda into her room.
That's the woman he's looking for, Melda, is it?
No. Melda was the friend. She got shot in the hip in close range.
Good Lord. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
And anyway, so what happened was she yelled at me when I went into the room. She said, get the rifle. You know.
What, get it off him?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And we were taught, because I worked in Mompart proper at first, I worked in the main hospital. I was in a specialised unit most of the time. And we were taught to get the arm up their back and all that sort of thing when somebody went wild, you know. So I did that and he released the rifle and Melda said, get out of here! So I did, you see.
Yeah.
And so I went downstairs and I put the rifle in my room, locked the door.
Yes.
And then went back to the switchboard. He was waiting for me to ring up again.
The police still hadn't arrived.
I hadn't seen them. Anyway, I heard the police come then and I said, he's upstairs. But I got onto the switchboard again and I said, we need an ambulance.
Yes. Well, you know somebody's hurt now.
Mm. So the ambulance came, and Detective Fenn came into Kathy's room, and he said to me, "Were you involved?" I said, "Yes," shaking like a leaf inside.
Yeah.
And he said, "Go with that to the detective and give him your statement." And so we went downstairs to the lounge room, and I went into the kitchen, and I'm trying to pour water into the cup. I could hardly do it.
Mm.
And the detective took over then. He poured it for me.
Yeah.
And so I gave him my statement, and then that was produced to the court later on. But it also went into the hospital, recommended us for a Royal Humane Society medal.
Right. Oh, and you got it.
It's there in that case.
I've just got Veronica's medal in my hands, and it says awards to Veronica Ireland, 17th of October 1976. That's quite something, isn't it? I mean, not everybody gets one of these.
No.
That's quite amazing, Veronica. Wow.
So Mr. Ballston, who had been in the English force during the war, he said to me, "Wear your medal on Anzac Day." So I did.
Yeah.
He said they used to say people who weren't awarded the medal should wear it on the right. We were told that, on the right. But Mr. B said to me, "It's yours. You should be wearing it on your left."
Well, that's right, because it was awarded to you.
Yeah.
You weren't wearing it because it was somebody else's, like your dad's or something. This is yours. Yeah. He's right.
He said, "I know they say the other way, but in this town, you should show it off."
I think he was right, yes. And proudly so, yes.
Mm.
Well, that's quite a story. When I asked you if you ever had any experiences, I didn't expect anything like that. That's something that lives with you forever, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That sort of story.
But I was a rally driver.
I was going to ask you, you sound like you have a connection with cars.
Yes, I did.
When did that start?
I was in three car clubs.
When did the love for cars start? As a teenager or...?
No, just after I got my licence in 73.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was actually, thinking about it, that's quite late, isn't it? You're almost in your 30s then.
Yeah. I was in the Catholic 20s club.
Right.
But this chap, he was a driving instructor, but he was a member of the club.
Right.
And we were both on the committee, and I said to him, "Would you teach me to drive?"
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he said, "All right, I will, you know."
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he taught me to drive, and one day he said to me, "We're out on Plenty Road, way out near Whittlesea, and there's a straight stretch there." He said, "Plant your foot." I said, "Why?" He said, "Plant your foot." And when I'd got up to a certain speed, he said, "Now, slow down and you don't do that again."
Ah, he was just teaching you something. Mm. All right. Got it out of the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I got Dad's ute after the car accident, because my car was written off, I was on Old Hillsville Road.
Mm-hmm.
I decided, I'm going to let this go. So I took my foot off, and it got up to 160 miles per hour.
The foolishness of youth, Veronica. That's all I can say.
It wasn't youth.
Oh, you were still young then. You're only in your 30s.
I let it go. And I said to Mum, I went back to being a kid. And she said, what did you do? I said, I let the ute go.
She wasn't impressed, was she?
No.
Did you ever tell Dad?
Dad was dead by that time because I inherited the ute.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I'm sorry. Was Dad's passing expected or was it an unexpected death?
Well, yes and no. He'd had a bad heart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he had a heart attack, we can gather, down in the shed. And Mum found him lying there with George on the top of him.
Who was George?
The cat.
The cat.
And I got him. He was my cat. And I got him for 50 cents at Vic Market.
And you've tuned in to Listen to Older Voices. Turning Back Time. Turning Back Time.
If you don't mind me just talking a little bit more about your dad, because I know you were so close to him. You said, you know, you and Dad, he was your favourite and you really loved him. It must have been a bit of a shock then to discover that he passed away, because he would have still been fairly young. I mean, he wouldn't have been more than 50-something.
Well, Robbie got hold of me.
Right.
And he told me, and I was terribly upset.
Of course you were.
Mm.
Left a bit of a hole in your life, didn't it?
Yeah. But anyway, this Frank, who owned a body shop near work, he fixed that Tirana.
What do you mean?
He restored it.
Right.
He cut it in half and put a new front on it.
Good Lord. Okay. He's a very talented man, yes.
Yeah. And he restored it. Then the automatic transmission was subject to recall. So he said to me, you have to bring your ute here and you have to take the transmission over to Preston Motors so as they could fix it, because it's the recall. So I took it over there and Keith said, where's the car? I said, it's not there, it's just the transmission. Hasn't been finished yet. So when Frank had put it back together, he said to me, your next day's off, you leave your ute here and you take the Tirana. Then you're to take it home, you're to drive it as if it's yours again.
So, sorry, can I just check on it? Is the Tirana the one that was in the accident?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because you hadn't mentioned what sort of car it was at that stage.
Yeah.
So he rebuilt it after the accident. Yeah. So did you take it back home?
I drove it and drove it as if it was mine, you know, and I gave him the report back and I had to take it to have it service over at Preston Motors. He wanted them to give it a good service. Yeah. So it could be sold.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did all this lead you into doing rally driving?
I was in rally driving long before I had the accident.
Right. How did you get into rally driving? That's not something young girls normally get into.
Well, I started off as Young Motorists RACV. And then I joined up with the Tirana Car Club and then I got into the Holden Car Club.
Right.
And also did marshalling over at Sandown.
Oh, okay. So you got into this in a serious way then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the first time I did marshalling over at Sandown, I wore cap that had holes in it.
Right.
You know how they have that fabric that has holes in it?
Yes, yes.
And I got sunburnt through it.
Because you've very fair hair, haven't you? So.
No, but I mean, I got sunburnt through the holes.
Yeah.
The event that was just before up in New South Wales, the big one.
Yeah, no, I haven't been involved in rallying, so I don't know. Yeah.
No, races, the big race.
Oh, yeah, that Bathurst?
Bathurst, just before Bathurst.
Oh, okay.
It was a month before Bathurst, and I was on duty at Sandown.
Right.
Yeah.
So in some of your rally driving, where are some of the places you...
All different places.
Yeah?
And I damaged the car, one of the cars, up below Mount St. Leonard.
How did that happen? Just went off the road?
No, they didn't give us the warning that there was a big hole.
Oh.
And I damaged the undercarriage.
Oh, well, that can happen.
And Mr. Darrington took me up in the tow truck to bring it home. And he said, "Why didn't you tell me where the car was?" I said, "Oh, well, I just brought you in the way I came out."
Yeah.
And he said, "You could have gone just out there and down the road. You were so close."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, I didn't know that, you know, and I had to stay away from the rally traffic."
In next week's final program, Veronica talks extensively about her travels throughout Australia and overseas, and her retirement and of Granny's chair. So join Veronica Ireland and myself next week on her final program in Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.